Welcome to the Successfully Unemployed Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you learn how to quit that J-O-B, that just over broke job, by investing, by having a side hustle, by being an entrepreneur in every single which way you can. And today, I am super pumped to bring on an expert who's going to show us how we can invest in commercial real estate, in all types of real estate at that, and be able to make passive income, make money every single month so we can quit our J-O-B and live the dream life. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Successfully Unemployed Show, the place where ordinary people become extraordinary by finding the path to financial freedom through entrepreneurship, side hustles, and passive income. We've already blazed the path, showing you how to retire early and have financial independence so you will never work for someone else again. And now, here's your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, what's going on? I am super excited to have you here on the show with me today. And you guys know that I'm a real estate investor. And in fact, I absolutely love investing in real estate. And what's so amazing right now, you know, right now we're seeing economic turbulence, or we're seeing, like, we're in a recession, inflation's going skyrocketing high, you have interest rates that are going so much higher that it seems like, oh, we're never going to be able to buy real estate. It's looking pretty bad. But not if you are a real estate investor. I actually am so excited for the coming problems in the economy. Did you know that Warren Buffett literally said, when there's blood in the streets, that's when you need to be buying. That's when you need to be investing. And what's interesting, when I started investing back in 2006, I started buying real estate in 2006 before the market crashed in 2008. But the funny thing was, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I've since learned and figured it out, but I wanted to get passive income because I wanted to be successfully unemployed. I wanted to buy properties that made me money every single month, whether I worked or not. Just like if you started a business where you hired employees, where whether you worked or not, it still made you money. It's called cash flow. And so what I did was I was investing for passive income. And when everybody else, when the economy crashed, recession hit, everything was really, really bad, all the other investors, quote unquote investors that were investing, like speculating, flipping homes and all that sort of stuff, they went bankrupt. I did not. I actually made so much more money in the recession and after the recession because I invested for rent. You might be thinking, well, Dustin, if everybody loses their job and bad things happen, you know, won't your rents go down? Well, actually, it's the opposite. Rents go up because sadly, if somebody loses their job, they have to get a job, you know, because they got to provide for their family. And sadly, they're going to lose their homes. It's sad. You know, if they're buying one, they go into foreclosure and they lose their home. Where does that leave them? Everybody needs to have a place to live. And so what does that to the demand of renters? Well, the demand of renters go up, which means my rents go up because there's more people that want to live in my rentals. Just like this for you. What we do is we invest in long-term, mid-term, which is like 6 months, traveling nurses and traveling executives and things like that, or short-term Airbnbs. We invest in buy and hold properties. And when we invest for cash flow, passive income every single month, we're going to make money if the market goes up, if the market goes down, or goes sideways. And what's great is in 2010, I bought as many properties as I could, but it was like, my goodness, I don't have enough money. I got to find more ways. Well, I tell you, the same thing is going to happen right now. We see the economy changing. We see bad things happening. Well, like Warren Buffett said, when there's blood in the street, basically when everybody's saying, do not invest, they're screaming off the rooftops, do not invest in real estate. It's the worst thing. Like, don't buy real estate. It's horrible, blah, 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 blah. That's the time when us as investors jump in, buy these properties for so cheap because we see what's going to happen. Prices will always go up. We'll always make money in rents because we're doing it right. We're making passive income. And the people who have the foresight, who have the, I guess, strength and courage to invest in this time, you're going to be thinking, my goodness, this is going to be the best time investing in real estate. And think of it like this. If you go to the grocery store and you normally buy a loaf of bread, let's say, well, with inflation, it's really expensive now. Let's say the loaf of bread is normally $5. And then you go to the store the next day and you see the loaf of bread, oh, there's a coupon and it's like 50% off, and you buy it for $2.50. Well, you're thinking, this is a good deal. I know the value is $5 or what I would normally pay. Let me go ahead and just buy a bunch of them at $2.50 because you'll save a lot of money. Same thing with real estate investing. You're going to see the prices on these homes are going to be so low that you're going to be thinking, I know it's worth more. Let me go ahead and buy it now. And so my expert that I'm bringing on today is going to help us to understand how we can invest in real estate so that we can become financially independent, so we can become successful and employed. And I absolutely want to help you invest in real estate. You need to come to my conference, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. It's literally me and 45 expert real estate investors. We're all coming together to teach you in a three-day conference. This is a no sales pitch conference. Like, if you go to any other real estate conferences, most of them, there's a booth in the back of the room and it's all hype and sales pitch from the front, the stage, and they say, no, run to the back. It's normally, you know, $100,000 for my program and it's $2,000 today. Well, my conference is not like that. You will never see a booth at the back. It's all about giving to you. Like I said, I'm bringing my friends, and all of us are bringing our audiences, our students, the people that are already investing. So if you're serious about investing, you need to be serious about investing in yourself. You need to be around the right people, the like-minded community of real estate investors. Come to RubeCon, Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, and use my promo code podcast. Use the promo code podcast and get 10% off of the ticket so you can come and be with us so you can learn how to invest in real estate. Go to RubeCon.com. Link will be in the description. Use that promo code podcast. All right, guys, let's jump into today's show where I am going to be investing, where I'm going to be interviewing a fantastic real estate investor, Augustino Plintas. He's going to be helping us to invest in real estate so we can become financially independent and successfully unemployed. All right, here we go. Augustino, thank you so much for being on the show.
Dustin, thanks for having me on. Greatly appreciate it, man.
This is terrific. I love having investors as well as business owners. I mean, that's what, when you're an investor, yeah, you have properties that we invest in, but we own businesses. And with those businesses, they make us money, which is great. Plus, if you're able to be successfully unemployed, then hopefully you have 40 plus hours of your life back to build more businesses. So talk to us, what do you do right now to provide for yourself and your family without working that dead-end job?
Well, I'll tell you what, the thing about a job, the thing about having a job is that they always pay you just enough to keep you there, right? It's almost like it's a weekly hit just to keep you in the office. So, you know, and the thing is, I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. Since I was a kid, I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to have my own business. And the thing is that I went the route of tech. I was a technology kid. I was already writing code, and I was like 9 or 10 years old on my old Commodore, just sitting there writing code. Right. That's why I started my whole thing, and I went down the path of IT. My parents are the ones, you know, they came over from Italy, so they're the ones that told me, "Oh no, you don't want to be an entrepreneur. You want a job. You want to go work for someone, and you want to go get a 40-hour work week and all that fun stuff." And I listened to my parents. I was a good Italian boy. It's what a good Italian boy does, right? Thing is, it's the wrong answer, you know. It took me a while to figure that out. But I'll tell you, man, it's. Certainly it's not easy doing what we do today. You know, currently we manage three lines of business. We have our multifamily acquisition. We do development, which is a big part of our business today, and the net lease business. I'm not going to tell you it's all sunshine and rainbows every day. Some days are worse than others, but I'll tell you what, I'll take a bad day doing what I do over a good day working in corporate any day of the week. I'm not slamming corporate. Corporate's fine for a lot of people, just not fine for me. That's all. That's all I'm saying about it, right? But
oh, yeah, I'll definitely, man, slam corporate. Everybody needs to figure out a way to work and from working for somebody else. It's so much better if you're independent, right? I mean, yeah. Obviously, everybody's going to have their own, but I just personally, everybody, you don't know what you're missing if you get out of that and you literally have your own time back. So sorry, I interrupted. Keep going.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, it's certainly somewhat tough to do, right? I think the hardest part is getting started. You know, the hardest part is getting started, because I'll tell you, I've been fired from a lot of jobs. All right. I'm, like I said, I want to be an employee, And a lot of companies would often catch wind of you wanting to be an entrepreneur. And next thing you know, you're out, you hit the skids, you're out. And I attached my personal well-being, my personal worth to a job, to a title. And it's totally not the case. Once you're able to let that go, your life changes a great deal. And that's what it took for me. I mean, it took a while, because I was a C-level executive working at these fairly large companies as a CIO, chief information officer, or CTO, chief technology officer, or whatever, one of these C-level type of roles. And, when you attach your self-worth to a title, it makes it certainly very, very difficult to leave. And then, like I said before, sure, if a company's paying you a couple hundred grand a year, do you think you could do more? Ask anybody who's watching this, do you think you can do better? And if the answer is yes, then you have to give yourself a chance, because our life on this planet is finite. We are not here forever. And we often live our lives as if we are going to be here, and we're not, and you can spend it one of two ways. You can either stay plugged into the matrix and getting paid every 2 weeks, living the way you're living today, or you could take a chance on yourself. You can bet on a sure thing, bet on yourself, it's up to you as to how much effort you want to put into what you're doing to build the success that if anybody does it properly, they're capable of doing. They can make it happen. It just takes a lot of work to when you start off.
So tell us about that C-level, like the C job, the chief job that you had, and then what really got you to where you are today, to where you realized it's better for me to be obviously on my own, be successfully unemployed. What was that process, and what was it like to actually quit?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, when as I rose to the ranks hitting the C-level eventually, I had my undergrad in engineering technology. I did two master's degrees. I went to school forever. Very expensive proposition, as you can imagine. And went from job to job to job. Oftentimes, what I found is that, and I think this is true for any C-level type of job, not just technology, but in general, the higher up you go in corporate, the harder it is to find another job, generally speaking, meaning that it takes longer to find a job because there's fewer of those jobs. Like there's only one CIO typically in a company, or one CEO, or one CFO. There's one of those individuals in any given corporation, as opposed to, as you go down the ranks, there's many, many directors, there's a lot of managers, and there's a lot of employees, right? So you're competing, as you go up the ladder, so to speak, you're competing against many other sharp individuals. These are not dummies. Like if you're at the C level, you're competing with a bunch of other smart cookies, just like you are. So they get, the hiring manager gets to choose who they want to get. And the thing is that it takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of time to apply for jobs over and over and over and over again. It just does, And you can spend it one of two ways. Like I said, you can either go apply for jobs or hone the skills you need to build your own success. Sure, it's going to take longer to get to your income level that you had previously if you're starting from zero. Sure it is. But again, you take your time back to do whatever you want it to do, to do what you want. But I'll tell you, when I was in corporate, I was making boku bucks, living in a nice condo by the water, had a nice fancy car, had all that stuff. But and there was times when I crack open LoopNet. I know LoopNet's the place where deals go to die. I didn't know that at the time, but I would open up LoopNet, look at some multifamilies. I didn't know what I was doing at the time. And then I would just glance at it. And then what I would do, hit the little X in the top corner, close the window. Why? Because why should I work that much harder? And that was the mentality, which is incorrect, by the way. I'm not saying it's the right way to be. It was wrong on my part, because I was comfortable. I was making good money. My boss loved me and everything was great. That is until my boss bounces, new guy comes in, hates my guts. Next thing you know, they're handing you the box. You know the box I'm talking about, the box where all your stuff is. pack up your stuff, get out, you're gone. And it's like, you know, man, that can happen to anybody.
And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. My new goal in my life, my first goal was to quit my job in 10 years. And I did that, accomplished that at 37. Now my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that, and how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets.
It can happen to anybody. I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. The company was very poor before I got there in terms of technology performance. I got in, fixed the network, got rid of some bad apples, bring in some great people. We ended up increasing our uptime significantly. It made no difference to the new guy. He didn't care. He wanted his own guys in there. So it can happen to anyone. It happens every single day. And that's why today, taking your future in your own hands, even if you are working in corporate and you are happy what you're doing, having multiple streams of income, even if it's entirely passive, is something that is now, it's available to just about anybody. I didn't even know it was available. I had no idea you could do self-directed IRAs and all this other stuff. I had no idea that was even a thing, you know? And it's huge. It's important to do that kind of stuff, because again, you never know when your number's up. Right now we're in an economy where the dollar's losing value every single day, every single minute. We're printing off more cash and we're sending it off overseas. That's a problem. And who's going to pay for that? Well, eventually we do, you know, so as taxpayers, and it's going to start sucking. It's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, so you have to be prepared by having multiple streams of income. Absolutely have to. You absolutely have, at a minimum.
Real estate's, yeah, I completely agree with that. So real estate's one of them, and, you know, apartment complexes, which is great. So what do you hold? Is it also residential? Do you have any storage units? Like, is it multifamily? What do you have in your portfolio?
Yeah, good question. So we started off our business essentially with multifamily, right? We bought a lot of B and C class stuff, mostly C class assets, acquire, fix them, value add, you know, cash flow them, that kind of scenario. Now, as the pricing of the C class assets for, you know, other assets here in the local market started rising up, and the cost of debt started going up as well, it started not making any sense to take on the risk of buying a C-class asset for the expensive money with all the rate caps and all these other things you have to get on top of it. It didn't make any financial sense to do those deals, you know? And I think that, you know, it just didn't make any financial sense. But one thing, it's also market specific too, right? And this specific market here in Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm at now, they had built quality new housing in a very, very, very long time. So we saw this as an opportunity to start developing. So that's the second part of our business, is to develop new product. So we're doing ground up developments, we're doing redevelopments like this one here, the Rockefeller Building in downtown Cleveland. We're going to be building 436 units here, and we're building in areas where there's a strong amount of jobs, strong amount of incomes, right? Urban infill mostly is what we're targeting these days, like areas where there's already a lot of activity, where we can build up another asset in that local market. For instance, in this deal, there's a Sherwin-Williams is building the world headquarters 200 feet away from me right now, right across the street. You know, so I'm very comfortable in the sense that this asset is going to perform just fine once it's finished. So we have stuff like this. We're doing ground up. these types of deals obviously take a little bit longer to cash flow, right? We raise our capital, we put it into the deal. You wait, 12, 18 months, depending on the size of the asset. And then at the end, you start cash flowing it. But then what we also started doing is the net lease business, which is our third line of business. And what we do there, we have a blind pool and we acquire Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Vetcor, Family Dollar, CVS, Walgreens, whatever. Stores that single tenant stores that people know, love, and trust. We acquire these assets. We buy the lease. We buy the property. We buy the building. We buy the land. We buy all of it, right? So what that means, though, is that you have a steady stream of monthly income. No matter what happens in the economy, these assets always perform, right? So we did that as like as an offering to our investors. So they, if they want to get in and get some monthly steady cash flow, net lease is a great.
Are you a financial advisor considering the independent registered investment advisor or RIA model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. Schwab has helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Navigate the big and small decisions by tapping into Schwab's decades worth of insights on what fuels RIA success. With Schwab Advisor Services, you have a custodian that will support you every step of the way. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.
Great way to do that. That's why we did that. So given that primarily these days we're focused primarily on development and net lease, on the multifamily side, you have to be very, very, very careful about what you're getting into these days. Every market has a deal. You have to know what you're buying. It's extremely important to know what you're buying right now.
Oh, totally. Especially with rising interest rates, you have potential. I think we're in a recession, at least it seems like we are, especially with interest rates, inflation, problems in war and all that. Like it's going to be a lot of turmoil coming here pretty soon. So I love the idea of bulletproof cash flow. So when you're talking about creating something like bulletproof, I love the multiple streams of income. And for me, my multiple streams of income flow into my river of income, which is my real estate investing. It all goes back into real estate investing because that's just so tangible and it makes me so much money. And then it's generational wealth that I would literally give to my kids. So talk to us about bulletproof cash flow.
Absolutely. So like the name intends, this is not just a name to me, right? This is meant to be a call to action. Is what it's meant to be, right? I don't do crypto. I don't do NFTs. I don't do any of this nonsense, right? It really is. I mean, I hate to offend people's ears. It's nonsense. It really is, right? It's because all of it is based on fiat currency, the US dollar, which is by definition fiat currency. It's not backed by anything but us paying taxes, right? Every single fiat currency ever been in existence has gone to zero. 100% of the time, the US dollar is no different. It will happen. It's inevitable. I would rather build bulletproof cash flow, buying real assets like this asset right here. It's a real building. I'm sitting in it right now. As long as there's people in here paying rent, paying leases, whatever we're calling, today we'll call it cash, tomorrow we'll call it bits. It doesn't matter. There's still income coming into your account, no matter what it is, right? So no matter what happens, that's the great thing about doing this whole bulletproof cash flow scenario is that we're the assets that we're getting are backed by real assets, real estate, and with the whole concept around building multiple streams of income. That's essentially what it is.
Started doing that, what would you say? Not just like get started, because we definitely need to get started, but what would be the first step in developing this bulletproof, I can't say this for some reason, bulletproof cash flow. I think it's like, and I definitely get tongue-tied on that, but bulletproof cash flow, if we were to build that in, we got to start somewhere. Like, what's the first step? Is it buying real estate? And so tell me about, where do we start?
Yeah, sure. I started the hard way. I started by accident, so to speak. When I first realized I could syndicate deals, I didn't know what syndication even was. Like I just didn't know. And I read books, I learned from calling friends. And as anybody will tell you, if you're starting from zero and you just start calling people, you're very rarely going to get a phone call back, if ever. You just won't, right? It's somewhat tough to do. I think that the great way, what I would have done, the way I would have started is, we have the Cashflow Dealmaker Club on Facebook. Start there. Get into a group of other people just like you that want to learn this business. Engage with the community. But I think the second thing to do is to get into an actual group that's doing deals. Not dumb deals, not stupid deals, actual good deals. And I say that because there's a lot of dumb deals out there. I see them every day. I don't get it. I just don't understand them, right? They're tremendously expensive. The numbers just don't make any sense to me. But there's a lot of good deals too. Part of it is you really have to engage with the community, and then you know what? Pay for mentorship. Do it. I mean, if you're able to get in and use someone else's background, their credentials, and learn from the mistakes that they did. Okay, so fine, you spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 on a program. You might look at it as, oh my God, it's going to cost me $8,000. Look at it from the upside instead. If you're able to shave off time that we have a limited amount of time on this planet, if they could save you 6 months of time, 8 months of time, isn't that time worth $8,000? How about the mistakes that you're going to make? You end up getting into a partnership on your personal name as opposed to doing it under an LLC. Then you get into bed with a bad partner who decides after some amount of time that they want to try to sue you now. You can get it. That could happen to you. That could be a thing. And now you have to deal with that. Could cost you thousands of dollars to deal with that. Where if you were in a group like ours, for instance, I would recommend, no, don't even do that deal. Skip it altogether. And here's why. You know, there's a variety of different things you can either do by yourself or get into a group, spend a little bit of extra time and effort and money to really get engaged and use someone else's background to get into those types of deals. You'll get access to deals that you would never get on your own if you're part of an organization. Because I'll tell you what, that's the hardest thing. I mean, when I was first starting out, I didn't have anybody. I did it the hard way. I had to hit the phones, call the brokers, create a credibility book to get in front of people. And no one showed me how to do it. I had to do it on my own. I had to figure it out. And it would have saved me so much time. And imagine how much time I would have saved if I could have used someone else's background and said, yeah, my partners and I have 1,000 units. You know, it's like, that's pretty cool. Even if my partner had a majority of the units, that's fine. It works. At least you'll get someone's attention, right? So that's a cool thing about getting into a group like this, is that you're able to leverage other people's experience, other people's know-how, and get deals done. You know, so it's a real slow going about your own. And I think that in any business, speed is incredibly important. And if you're a high action individual, you got to get in and you got to hurry. You're running out of time.
I think you're 100% right, because if you're going to be doing anything, let's say just pick one thing like real estate investing, you're going to either spend or pay with your time or pay with your money. And so you're 100% right. And the only commodity that you spend and never, ever get any back is time. And so if you, like you said, spend a little money to where you could shave off the time, I'll give you a quick example. So I started investing, and it took me about 8 years to be able to have enough properties to be able to quit my job. Now I have students that I'm coaching because I figured out the wrong ways to do it, took that out of my business, kept all the good ways in. And now with that, I have students in 2 or 3 years being able to have enough properties so that they make passive income every single month. But I save them, let's say, 3, 4, 5, 6 years if they were trying to do it on their own, not to mention all the money that we save them. So I love that. Now, with that, what does a good deal look like? And because you said there are a lot of bad deals, how do we make sure that we're finding a good deal? And what does a good deal look like?
Wow. So good deal is not just the property itself, believe it or not. The property is obviously a big part of it, right? If you find a nice B-class asset in an A-class area, all right, we just actually bought one of those assets recently. You know, we're going to take it, we're going to renovate it, we're going to turn it into A-class apartments. That's That happens very rarely. You find such a thing, right? But I think what's also important, though, aside from finding that combination, today it matters now more than ever, trying to find those like a C-class asset in a B-type of area where it's like the asset that you're buying is one grade below the area that you're buying, okay? Because as you know, assets have a grade, areas have a grade, brokers have a grade, right? All these different grades, right? And you have to kind of balance them, right? Like some broker, well, I don't want to get into all the brokers. I'll just leave it at that. But once you do that, then what happens next? Well, the debt. Right now, debt is tremendously expensive. So you have to find the right debt for the asset that you're buying. The debt needs to include, how much are you getting in rehab if you need a rehab, which I would assume you would. What is the interest rate? Do you have to buy a rate cap? A rate cap is think of it as like insurance that they're gonna cover a certain amount in case you're if you have a floating interest rate, your interest rate rises above a certain amount that they'll kick up some cash. But even if it goes above that, you still have to pay out of your own pocket. It gets tremendously expensive if you don't buy enough rate cap insurance, with air quotes, right? And all these different things matter, and all these different things need to go into your model. How much are taxes going to be? Taxes are going up for everybody, everyone across the board. Property taxes are going to be going up. Every market's experiencing this, right? So you have to account for that. Insurance is getting crushed right now because of all these natural disasters down south. Well, they pass along those miraculous savings or expenditures over to guys like us, even here in the Midwest. You know, so someone's got to pay for it. Insurance is going up across the board. All these things need to be accounted for when you're putting these deals together, right? So it's no longer a very easy type of slam deal together. You really have to know your numbers. You really have to know your numbers. And it's, you have to know before. Now it's even more important. The types of deals that we're doing today, for instance, we're very active in the Cleveland market, because the deals that we're finding right now as new development deals or ground up development, we're finding opportunity zone type deals, which helps shield any type of income for a long period of time. And there's also 15-year tax abatement as well. So if you're taking a bunch of cash, you're putting it into the deal tax-free basically, and then you're not paying any taxes on the asset that you're building, and we're building A-class assets, so with premium rent demand, the end result is going to be a good solid return, right? So those are the types of deals we're doing, and it's still very, very, very competitive compared to what's happening down south. A lot of people are developing down there too, but they're paying taxes on all that income. So it works out very, very well. You know, we have
is that just in Cleveland?
Power. Right now, we're just doing just Cleveland. That's it. I'm a real big believer in focusing on one market.
Yeah, no, I definitely with you on that. And so Cleveland, in that market, it's. I have property in Maple Heights. You know, obviously, uh-huh. You know where Maple Heights is, really, really good market. And I like how you're focusing on obviously also increasing the value of the area and helping out in that regard too. So if we're going to find a good deal, how do we make sure that we're making money, bulletproof cash flow? Like, we want to make sure we're making money every single month. So let's say we get an apartment complex, you know, we're investing in an apartment complex. How do we make sure we're making money? Because what I do with residential, 4 units and below, we try to make sure we're making passive income, cash flow every single month. It's fairly simple in the numbers. You calculate your expenses, mortgage, taxes, insurance, things like that. It's very simple. And then you make sure you can rent it for a little more. When you get into bigger properties, especially things like CVS and all that sort of stuff, there's a lot more going on. So any advice that you can give us in that?
Underwrite conservatively. I mean, that's a trait that I've been doing 17 years now. I've been doing the same sort of thing, underwrite conservatively. And I remember when I was underwriting deals, I would underwrite deals with a 2% rent increase, 2%. When times were good, I was underwriting at a 2% rent increase and a 1% or 1.5% expense increase too. And if that didn't kill the deal, I'd feel very comfortable about it, right? I would also do I try to do long-term fixed debt on the asset too. Back then, that's what I would do. I try to do that today. It's a little tougher to do in development these days because the banks are a little more skittish about doing those types of deals. So you know, underwriting conservatively, finding the right debt on the deal, and try to plan out what would happen if, because you're going to have tough times out there. You know, every business does. So part of it is not thinking that every day is going to be sunshine and rainbows in the world of real estate. Right. Like I said before, I think I said this before, the bad days are when, like, you know, I'd rather take a bad day in doing what I'm doing over a good day in corporate. The bad days are the ones you have to plan for. Those are the ones you plan for, because, and you plan for them by underwriting conservatively, by getting the right debt on the deal. And that's an underwriting, you know, underwriting is just so, so, so hard. You know, that's, again, that's why when in our group, when I mentioned before, if you underwrote a deal and you're not really sure about the deal, imagine sharing it with 50 other folks and say, hey, can someone take a look at this thing and just check my numbers, make sure I got this right? I mean, there's value there. You know, I had no one doing that when I first started. I had to practice over and over and over again, you know, until we got it right. So it certainly helps accelerate the learning time, because part of it is just practicing. You know, you really have to know what the numbers are in that market. And I would also go so far as to also stay in your market, you know, really understand how your market works. That's why we hunker down and invest here locally, because I know my market and my market knows me. You know, they know that I'm a credible buyer. If there's a deal to be had, they call me, you know, so it's good to be in that position.
That's great. And I 100% agree. And that's one thing that I made sure as best I could to tell everybody, that I'm an investor. Like, that's what I do. I'm an investor. Because if they know you as a plumber, well, then they're calling you about plumbing. They're not going to talk to you about investing. So you need to make sure that your name absolutely gets out. Man, Augustino, you've given us so much great advice and wisdom. Is there anything else that we might have missed? Anything that we definitely the underwriting, we have to be conservative in that. I 100% agree. Anything else that we might have missed?
You know, a lot of talk in the media about how bad the economy is. It sucks. We are in a recession. I don't care what the media says. We are in a recession. We're in a technical recession, because the way that recessions have been defined over the past 30, 40 years are pretty much, by that definition, we are in one right now, meaning two quarters back to back of negative GDP. That's what it is. You can't just, you know, pick and choose certain things in a recessionary in the stack of recession definition and just, you know, say we're not. We are. So here's the thing, though. It's not all bad news. I think what needs to happen next is to plan accordingly, build those passive streams of income, but also, you know, there's an opportunity coming. And there will be assets to buy. There are assets to buy right now. You just got to know what you're looking for, you know. And I think that if you keep your mind open, you can find the assets. But when you do, let's say, for instance, you do sniff out a deal. If you can't underwrite it, if you don't have the people to help you, to back you up, you're never going to get a deal done. So that's why now you have to get into this business. Do it now while people are letting off the gas and hiding. They're hiding in fear. Now's the time to get in and run into it and learn all you can, because the sun will come out tomorrow. And when it does, you want to be ready to take advantage of what's going to be coming. You know, in this market alone, I heard of a guy selling 900 units. I just heard about it. You know, so there's always a market. There's always a market. There's always something happening, you know? So you have to be prepared. So I would recommend, like, join the Cashflow Dealmaker Club, totally free. You can do that or whatever club you want, but stay active, get into this. You know, don't not do it.
Absolutely. We don't want to put it off. In fact, one of my more favorite quotes is, when is the best time to plant a tree? Well, it was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. And you don't want to be thinking, man, 20 years ago, I was listening to Augustino and I wanted to invest, but you don't want to be that. You want to be the opposite. They say, I'm so glad when I listened to Augustino on the show that I started investing. That's how you want to be. Now, Augustino, you give us so much great advice. How can people find you if they want to reach out to you and hear your podcast?
Sure. Bulletprooftashflow.com. We have 400 videos, I think, something like that, on YouTube. We're on Libsyn. We're on iTunes. We're even on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We're everywhere. So yeah, check it out.
That's great. Augustino, thank you so much for being on the show, man. I really appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Today's episode has been brought to you by the Real Estate Wealth Builders membership. That's the membership that I founded, teaching people how to quit their J-O-B by investing in real estate rental properties. Now, Real Estate Wealth Builders is your place to learn how to invest in real estate with five different masterclass courses, group coaching with me, and a private student community where we all work together, all the tools and the discounts, all the resources and everything that you need to quit your J-O-B by investing in real estate. Now, I do want to show you how to do this completely for free. If you want to learn about investing in real estate for free, I want to get you my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. That's R-E-N-T-A-L. To 33777, so you can see how you can quit your job, that J-O-B, by investing in real estate. I'll show you how to find properties, how to use other people's money to buy properties, and how to scale the business to be successfully unemployed, just like I did. Now, did you also know that there are video versions of each and every single episode on the Successfully Unemployed show? Well, I did record every single one of these for you. I recorded them for you so you will be able to learn from the experts themselves, see what they're doing, see everything that they are talking about on this show visually, and all their examples, all their slides, all their pictures that they even draw. Everything is on there. Go to successfullyunemployed.co/YouTube. Or if you just go to YouTube and type in Successfully Unemployed, more than likely you're going to find me. So successfullyunemployed.co/YouTube. And I would truly appreciate it if you subscribe to Successfully Unemployed on YouTube and wherever you're listening to this podcast, subscribe to this show so that you can always get every bit of new information on how to quit your J-O-B. Also, if you got anything out of the show, share it with just one person. Share it with just one person so that they can see the light, that it is so much better to not work a job, be successfully unemployed, and be your own boss. All right, guys, this is it for today's show. I will see you next week. See ya.